Hello, lovely builders. Today we have Eve from Dot and Pop. Now, the last time we met her, her baby was 5 weeks old. Can you believe that? And today we're going to talk to her about a whole heap of things, her career progress from going from TV to building, living with a builder, which is so much fun, I'm sure, and working with a whole heap of brands and stylists. So join us for our chat with Eve. I'm sure you will not be disappointed.
Hi. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Welcome, Eve.
Thank you.
So I think we spoke about the fact that Hattie was 5 weeks old last time we chatted and the house wasn't quite finished.
Yeah, we brought Hattie home from the hospital and basically that was the day we moved into the house. Yeah, it wasn't finished, but it was close enough. Yeah, and I guess it took us probably another till now, so 18 months to, finish it completely, which is, we'll continue on into the chat about living with a builder, I'm sure. But yeah, it's been a hectic 18 months.
A lot of people might know you from Dot and Pop, which is your Instagram and blog.
Yes. Yep.
So tell us, what is Dot and Pop? Why did you start it? What does it do?
Yeah, so I would say that Dot and Pop is sort of like an online space for sort of design lovers. So the blog and the Instagram is, just full of beautiful inspirations of architecture, interiors, projects for DIY, tips for renovating. And I guess it started initially as a space for me to curate and put everything that I found for my personal renovation. So Matt and I have been doing houses together for, I was going to say 10 years, but we've been together for 12 years and we bought our first house when we'd only known each other for 9 months.
Reckless.
So I know, literally, I think our parents nearly died. So let's say 11 years. Dot and Pop's been around for about 5, I think. So yeah, initially, I guess it was just putting everything for myself into a place, and then it sort of evolved into what it has become. And then off sort of the back of that, I've started a small styling business for brands, but also for clients who want to furnish their houses or they want help with color selections or fittings and fixtures for their renovations. So it's sort of multifaceted brand now, I guess.
Well, I kind of love that. And I love the fact that it was a business that started from passion. And I think that you can always see when something's a passion project and then you've just gone with it as it's evolved.
Yeah, definitely. So when I started it, I was doing hair and makeup full time. And I think, I've definitely come from a creative family. My mum is an artist but was also an art teacher. And I actually moved to Melbourne from Tasmania when I was 17 to be a ballerina. And then I got into hair and makeup. So I think sort of like aesthetics and visuals and the arts and being creative has always been part of my life. So this is an extension of that. But it was meeting Matt, young carpenter at the time, and us getting our first house, which made me realize that interiors was something that I was really passionate about but just didn't know it.
So was your first house, was that a renovator's delight or what was that?
So our first place was in Port Melbourne. It was 102 square meters, the land.
So for people who can't picture square meters, that might be like 20 meters by 5 meters. Right.
Yeah. So 5 meter frontage and 20 meters deep.
Teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny. And it was a heritage listed Victorian. However, luckily for us, and probably didn't know it at the time, it already had a second story on it, which was set really far forward. So it didn't have the 10 degree setback rule in place when it was built, so we could build it back to that spot. So we actually fitted like 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms on this teeny little block. So that was our first place, and I do look back. I was actually sending my sister a photo the other day laughing because we had no money at the end of it. And like, my styling was hilarious. There was actually like a fabric pair on one of the side tables.
Did you rock the cowhide?
No, I didn't. I feel like we had a lot of IKEA, which is still great. I still love some IKEA, but you know, like, everyone had that mom bed.
You don't want everything to be like, that's the thing, right? So it's mixing and matching. So IKEA is fantastic, but you don't want the entire space to be IKEA.
No, but I was 21. Matt was 23.
Oh God, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so we'd put all our money into like the finishes of the house. So it was beautiful. And then we had no money to style it with. But look, before we sold it, we did. So it was fine by then. But yeah, so that was our first house. You know, fond memories.
Do you know what I think is really nice though, is people think that they need to start with this forever house mentality. And I'm like, no, buy what you can. Like, if it's tiny, that's okay. Just work with it.
And that's it. Like, it's just a stepping stone in the journey to get where you want to be in the end. And I think, you know, we always had a goal of ending up where we are now. So starting small with what you can afford, and definitely stretch yourself. I think that's important, and do everything you can, but don't go completely out of your means, I guess.
And don't think that it's beyond your means because you can't afford the forever one right now. It's okay to have a few steps.
That's it. Look, I'm not in my forever home yet. So are you? No? Or is this
it? Yeah, no, I am. But it has been quite a few homes to get to the forever home. And over a period of time, I guess, there may have been a few in there that I thought were my forever homes, and then I changed my mind. As you do.
Yeah, exactly. Or you get, in your case, you've got, you know, your real life babies, and then your baby built her as well. So you've got all of that to keep you very busy.
Lots to keep me entertained, but I do like having a project on the go, which I think is the same as you. But I guess what I also want to kind of touch on is the fact people see what they see on Instagram, and we beautifully style one space. Actually, you had a story up the other day and you like the Instagram and then actually what it looks like. And when I went to your house, you were living with like a temporary bench. I can't remember what else.
There was no stone. It was just the steel, and like the water was making it go rusty.
And I think it was like that for a few weeks at least, a few months.
Yeah, I see the pictures of like us sitting on the couch with Patty, and yeah, in the background is like the carcass of the kitchen. Like, I don't even think the doors or anything were on for like ages. But yeah, on Instagram, I probably made it look like we came home with our brand new baby to a beautiful house, but it didn't.
And it was a beautiful house. It's just, you know, it like it needed finishing. And look, I'm in the forever home, but it's not finished. There's one section of the house where John's going to make a door that goes into like a little courtyard, which I want to put a sauna in, as you do. But there's this little door and it's not finished yet. So it's just a piece of ply. So our house is kind of almost finished, and then there's like a couple of bits of ply screwed in place as a door. Like, it'll probably be like that for about 6 months.
And that's what happens, isn't it? So one of Matt's least favourite jobs to do is he hates door handles, and that is like his most hated job. So we didn't have door handles for a long time, and we still don't have strikers. He just hasn't put them in. There's like pencil marks where they need to go. Someone on Instagram like messaged me a photo of our master bedroom, and either side of the fireplace, there's a door on each side. One goes into the robe, one goes into the ensuite. And they were like, what door handles have you used in here? And I'm looking and I'm like, oh yeah, there aren't any. Like, and I put that photo on Instagram, and only one person in all this time has noticed that there's no door handles. It's like a clean run. But I was like, yeah, there's no time for that.
For us, it's towel rails.
Yeah, he hates drilling into tiles actually too.
And toilet roll holders. So
yes,
I never live with a toilet roll holder. He puts them in the day we settle.
That is actually exactly like us. But this house actually did get them in, and I got all the bathroom stuff actually was put in.
So this weekend was so rainy and so disgusting, and John was like stood at the door because he just can't stand being inside with his nose pressed against the window like a puppy dog. And so I actually managed to bribe him to get the towel hooks on. I was so excited. So much better. Oh, for small things, people.
Oh, it is. Makes your life so much better being able to just grab a towel, hang it up, and not have a wet towel.
Or hang it up, not like hang it over the piece of glass.
Yeah, it is. It's those little things. I was looking around the room then because I was like, what else hasn't been done? But I think that we're probably like, 99.9. I still need to pick a pendant for our stairwell, but I just can't decide.
There's a nice kind of evolution of keeping a few things going just so you don't get bored of the space and, you know, something's constantly changing. Maybe that's a good way to spin it.
Yeah, I think so too. And sometimes living in the space, I think, makes you see it differently as well. Maybe, yeah, you thought, you know, you needed something and then you realize that you don't, that there's a, you know, there's enough happening in that space. And some things I think that you make decisions on quickly and then you're living with it and you realize that that was not the right choice. Upstairs in this house, we have a curved planter box, which is as you come up the stairs. But then on the opposite side of that, we made like a playroom, let's say, in the roof space of the original house. And at the time, you know, we're rushing because it was going to be Christmas and then I was due on the 21st of Jan and, you know, all the trades, you know, we probably wouldn't get them back between Christmas and then. And so we just sheeted it in a triangle.
So you followed the roof pitch? Yep.
Yeah. And then in the first lockdown this year, so more than a year later, we're like, what is happening? Like there's a curve and a triangle and anyway, so then we've changed that opening and we've put in a arched cavity slider and it's changed the whole space. But that is, I guess, a bonus of living with a builder and someone that has an eye for design, which Matt does as well. So he'd been like wanting to do it for ages and I was like, can you even be bothered? That seems like a lot of work. Not that I was going to be doing it.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but they're going to make mess and you're going to cut it up and then there's going to be dust in the house. And
yes, and I'll have to keep Patty away. But it looks like unbelievable. So beautiful.
So much better. Yeah, it's beautiful. I actually saw that and I was like, when is that?
And it would be a beautiful office. But, yeah, I think sometimes you just make quick decisions. And, you know, we design our house ourselves. We don't engage an architect. So, you know, all these decisions are left up to us. And sometimes, I guess, you know, when you're standing in front of it, you just, yeah, you do what you think at the time because, you know, there's time constraints and the plaster is standing there.
Yeah, you do a more flexible design, which is what I like to do as well, right?
Yeah.
So because you're building,
yeah,
you're kind of making stuff up and adjusting as you go, yeah, which doesn't drive anyone insane at all.
No, no way.
Because they don't really need plans.
Yeah.
Actually, funny story, our current house had a basement in it and we deleted the basement, but I never updated the ground floor plans. Like I had the permit ones, obviously, but I never updated the internals to make it. So we were just building it off what I was telling people. Like, can you send me the plans? I'm like, no, because we're not really building off them. That's not the way to do it unless you're...
No, unless you've got someone who knows what they're doing. Why did you delete your basement?
Why? Because my three-year-old had a fall when the kitty, who's now two, was a couple of weeks old. We went to Eildon to a houseboat and we stayed on a houseboat because I thought I'd like to renovate a houseboat is what I thought. While I was pregnant, that was, you know, my decide. And so we stayed on a houseboat because I thought you better stay on one before you try, you know, try before you buy, right, for a weekend. We were there all of 5 minutes before the five-year-old tried to carry the two-year-old down the stairs, which were more like a ladder, and fell. And so he was concussed and broke his collarbone. And I was trapped on a houseboat for a weekend with the baby while John was airlifted with him to the children's to get that. It was horrendous. Anyway, so I do not do basements.
No.
Because then I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have a 3 meter hole in my backyard for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I cannot even breathe with the thought of children. Like, it's enough. Because that's the flip side, right? You are now living with an 18 month old in a house, which is actually done. So that's fine. But if you sell this and you go and live in another renovator's delight, that adds a whole nother level of complexity into the fact that they're just not safe. Like, they're not safe in a house.
Yeah, definitely. We were talking about this the other day and how Matt's like, people renovate with kids. But yeah, they do. It might be like sort of a new experience for us. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on the project, doesn't it?
It does depend on the project. There's another level of complexity, I guess. And
I don't know how you do it.
Thought that's gone. Well, I'm not doing it. I'm actually, you know, when you're like 2 weeks away from the end of a project and everything just gets irritating and too much and you just want to get in. Like, it's like you're cool with it for like 9 months or a year, and then that last 2 weeks you're like, what do you mean there's a delay?
Yeah, you want it to be over.
Yeah, I think I'm like that now with the building, because we've got like a garden, which is dangerous, and now I'm like hyper paranoid that someone's gonna like hurt themselves on the stack of scaffold that's sitting in our garden.
All the things. You got to think about all the things.
All the things. So these things are what you've got to look forward to, Eve, for the next project.
I know. Yeah, and what will that be and when will that be? Who knows, thanks to Corona. But
so Matt, he's obviously doing quite a lot of high-end building now. And so as a team, you're pretty amazing because you've got like the design and he's got a design eye, but he's a builder.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we do it together, but I'll give him credit where credit is due. He does do the floor plan and the design of the house, like the external design. And he does have, you know, major input in the interiors as well. But I think it's probably working on, like, he only works in Albert Park, really, Middle Park and Port Melbourne. All the houses, you know, are very single-fronted or double-fronted, brick or weatherboard. But working in houses where every millimetre counts because, you know, floor space isn't huge, I think, yeah, is a massive benefit to us doing our own places.
I think there's a really nice niche to that though, right? So you've kind of gone, okay, well, we're actually specialists at working in this area. So you've got a great, well, you've got a name through Dot and Pop, but it's kind of like building in that niche. You don't really want to travel very far to go to and from work because, you know, that's time out of the family. And building takes up a lot of time anyway, really.
No, it's not 9 to 5 or 7 to 3 or, you know, whatever it is, whether it's for clients or for yourself, you know, it is so much on either side of that, planning and designing and ordering and chasing. And
you never can switch off from a building project. And I don't know whether people understand that from a kind of personal point of view. When you're doing your own project, you never switch off. You're always thinking about it. But also the builder, when they're doing a project for you, never switches off. They're always thinking about the next detail and the next thing that needs to be ordered and the next bit of styling.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you have to work months ahead because, you know, you need to be ordering windows and steel and everything that takes time. You don't want to get to that day or that week and not have everything arriving and then everything comes to a standstill. So, yeah, it's not just going and building on the day. It's, you know, everything in the, yeah, lead up and then, you know, looking forward as well. So yeah, you're right, it is a lot. And when it is your own project, you definitely like live it and breathe it.
So through Dot and Pop, I've noticed that you do a lot of sharing, a lot of tips and a lot of advice. Have you got any tips for people who are looking to create a platform or work with different brands? Like, what would you say to them?
I would say finding your niche is probably the first step. So whether it be tips or design or renovating or DIY, obviously you can expand into different sort of avenues on your platform. But yeah, finding a niche, I think, that resonates with people and gets your audience involved and engaging with you and your content. I obviously love sharing beautiful architecture and interiors on my Instagram feed. But as part of that, I really like to showcase sort of Australian brands, Australian architects, but also, you know, furniture brands and homewares brands. I find that a piece that I really love, then I want to tell everybody about it. So I think that building relationships with brands is great, but also being able to share my favorite pieces.
Yeah, I think there's an authenticity about it too, right? So when you're spending a lot of time on developing a page, and initially you're just doing it as a passion project and that's how it grew, but you're spending a lot of time talking about the same subject matter. So if that's not authentically you and what you love and what you want to create, then that's going to be really tiresome really quickly.
Definitely. You'll just fizzle because you can't be bothered because it doesn't mean anything to you. So yeah, I think creating content is time consuming. So
really time consuming.
And I don't know if people understand. It's a lot. So you're totally right. Being authentic, making sure it's your true self and posting stuff that you love, I think is probably the main thing. Not thinking too much or overthinking about what other people might think. You know, if I love it, then I post it and then see, you know, we go from there.
That's a good way to start, I think. So I love it, so I post it.
Yeah.
Like, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, exactly. Really?
And so what about the future? Like, you're finished except for obviously some door handles or strikers. Are you looking to do another project? Are we going to see another partnership between you and Matt come together?
Yeah, definitely will. I will say that we've really enjoyed sort of living in a finished, beautiful house. And I think that spending the first part of Patty's life here has been really nice, especially this, you know, this year, because we've been home a lot. But I think, you know, Matt's always got his eye out, always looking. And I mean, my like dream home is, I just want a double front yard. Just give me a center hallway. That's all I need. So that would be, yeah, I guess like the dream home one day.
Really careful about that, Eve. All I need, Matt heard that, all I need is a center hallway. Right? Don't worry about the condition of the rest of the house. No. She's got a center hallway. There's nothing else standing, but there's a center hallway.
That's all I need. But we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. We talk about moving to Queensland a lot since COVID, and I spend a lot of time in Domain, like looking at property in Queensland.
In Queensland, right. We have a couple of our developers in our masterclass. They moved to Queensland like 2 weeks before lockdown happened. I'm like,
that's so smart.
How did they time? They're actually lucky, but it looks like they're very smart.
But I feel like maybe we have this exact discussion every winter, so I wouldn't put too much into that.
So you need a summer house and a winter house is really where the aim is then.
Perfect. Why not? But yeah, no, there'll definitely be something. But whether we stay in this house and do a smaller side project or we move on to another big one, I don't know. Nothing is set in stone.
I think that's kind of nice as well though, right? So you can just go with what comes up. And if something comes up, I normally find I'm not looking when the right house comes along.
No, definitely not. Yeah. And I say this to Matt all the time and, you know, and to other people, I feel like you always end up with the house that you're meant to have. It always works out perfectly in the end. So this house, we looked at it and we were like, no, we're, because it was a bookshop, like literally running as a bookstore. And then it's like, I don't know, 3-6 months later, Matt came and sat out the front in his car and like stared at it and then was like, you know what, like got the vision, and then here we are. So, and then maybe someone could have bought, you know, potentially could have bought it and we wouldn't have ever had it, and the next house that we got would have been perfect as well in the end. But I do think that when you miss out on property and you're really down about it, you know, you're sad that you missed out because you could see yourself living there and you can see the vision and you know what you could do to it. So it is disheartening, I guess, when you miss out, and maybe you miss out quite a few times in a row. I think just remember, you will get the right one.
I never regret anything that I've missed out on, actually.
Yeah, and I think that's good to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, you walk past, you're like, my God, why do we even want that?
It's the perfect kind of transition in life. Like, it just happens when it's meant to, and I think there's a nice flow about that too.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that that's definitely the way to look at it.
Yeah. If I was going to have regrets, it wouldn't be property related, I tell you.
No, God. We're not moving to Queensland.
It's a different one. Thank you so much for coming on and having a chat to us, Eve. I always really love talking to you and following your progress.
And you too, same. Love watching along. Everything that in our brief chat before this started, I feel like, yeah, everything you say, I'm like, I know, I've seen it. Looking, watching. I can't wait to see your house.
Yeah, well, we had photos booked in for the Thursday. Lockdown happened on the Wednesday.
Oh, no. Do you feel okay, though, now? Because more will be done anyway.
Right, the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've tackled the garden in lockdown. Lockdown with the builder. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it? Yeah, I can't
wait. People are like, I want a chef. I'm like, yeah, but you eat that next meal. Like, you really want a builder.
Yeah. They do. They can do anything.
Except for towel hooks and toilet roll holders. They cannot be done.
No. Strike a plate. Yeah, you got your mum to cook for you. No, my mum's in Tassie, so she's definitely not. But, yeah, I can't wait to see your house. It's going to be unbelievable. I feel like I just want to put fluted glass everywhere.
Yeah, the fluted glass was fun. The steel windows have been traumatic.
Why?
So the week before I went into hospital, I fired the steel window guy because he just couldn't do it and he wasn't turning up, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill you. And then we had someone else, but then like they're so expensive, and I'm like, to pay this amount of money, they need to be perfect and they need to work perfectly. And then, like, they're meant to be powder-coated and they didn't fit in the oven.
Nightmare.
Yeah, so then they sprayed them and it took an extra 3 weeks to get them sprayed in this controlled environment, and they forgot to tint the paint. So it wasn't shoji white, it was white. And I don't know if you've ever put, like, shoji white next to white, but shoji white's quite warm. And then I'm like, do I wait and redo them, or do I, like, I'm
just... Nightmare.
There's always something on a build, and you kind of like, you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, that's fine. But you're in, you're just like, oh. Anyway. All right, Eve, thank you. So lovely to talk to you.
So nice to chat to you.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.